Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
How is everybody doing on this Sunday? I hope you're good. I hope you're good. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Caleb Conrad. I lead worship in our launch service, which is this service. And I'm here to welcome you today and go through a couple of announcements. But before I do that, I got a lot of flack last week for saying, it's Easter, y'all. And apparently that's not the official Easter greeting. It goes something like this. Help me out here. Christ is risen. See, that's better, but I kind of like the y'all, but I wanted to get that out of the way and welcome you this morning. Today's message is renew. We're going to work on renewing our vows as Christians, as membership here at Asbury, and Brother Hammett's going to go over that today. A few announcements, but first, register your attendance. It helps us out. You can sign the QR code on the screen. We'll leave that up for a few seconds so you can get that. It's important that you do that for our purposes, and we appreciate you doing that, taking a second. We'll leave that up for just a few more seconds. But we do have a couple of exciting announcements. Number one, like every month, today is Stone Soup Sunday, which is just a great mission for this church. It's something that I just love about Asbury. It's a Quapaw Quarter UMC from 1:30 to 4 o'clock today. So if you need something to do on this Sunday, I know we're all busy, but take a second and go serve our community. The other announcement is Starting Point next Sunday is a class if you're new to Asbury or you want to get more involved in Asbury. You can meet with Brother Nick at 10 a.m. of the Sunday school hour next Sunday in the large conference room downstairs. If you don't know where that is, somebody will get you there. And it's just a good way to learn more about the ministries we have here at Asbury and how you can best use your talents and your time to serve the church family. I made this horrible graphic this morning, but it gets the point across. Next Sunday is also Soup and Salad Sunday. It's a fundraiser for our youth missions. So come hungry next Sunday and partake in the soup and salad varieties. Other than that, if you have any questions about Asbury, come ask me. Come ask Brother Hammett. Nick's not here, but you can ask him generally, too. And we'd love to help you out. And there's also so many great people here that will be happy to talk to you. How about we stand up and worship this morning? That sound good? Let's do it.
I count on one thing, the same God never fails, will not fail me now, you won't fail me now, in the waiting, the same God who's never late, is working all things out, you're working all things out, oh yes I will lift you high, in the lowest valley, yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Come on. one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Oh, my days. Oh, yes, I will. Sing that again. For all my days. Oh, yes, I will. And I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against. And I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
Amen. Amen. I love this next song. You know, we go through a lot in life, but we know who holds the truth. We know who holds the power. That's what this song is about. The battle belongs to the one and true God.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. All I see is the mountains, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. Yes, it does. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress. You go before. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat.
And let us pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you and to worship you and to celebrate all that you are and all that you have been and all that you always will be. God, you are gracious, you are loving, and you are good. And God, today we lift up your church. We pray for our own church family here at Asbury. We pray for our leaders and everybody, all of our staff, everybody who is a part of our church family, from the oldest all the way to the youngest. God, we also pray for the United Methodist Church, and we pray that you will give us your spirit, pour out your peace upon us, and unite us in the midst of our differences. God, we also pray for your world. We're so troubled by all of the violence and war and turbulence and disease. And so, God, we pray that you will work through us to bring peace and to bring assurance and to bring love and to bring joy in the midst of the sorrow. God, we lift up our political leaders. We pray for President Biden and for Congress and for the Supreme Court. And we pray for our local and community and state leaders. And God, we pray that you will give them discernment and give them a spirit of humility and a spirit that seeks to work for the greater good, to pursue the greater good in our world and in our country. And God, we pray for those who are ill and those who are in special need, those who are hurting and mourning everywhere. But Lord, specifically, we pray today for those members of our church family who are ill or in special need. We remember Clifford Smith and June Glazier, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Megan Arnold, Patty Shoemaker, Joyce Dennis, Earl Ann Foss, and Jean Hammett. And now we name before you others who are on our hearts today. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that we might truly be your hands and feet. Fill our hearts with gratitude for all of the blessings that you have given us, and help us to share those blessings with others. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Every time we come to worship is an opportunity for us to grow in generosity. We believe in a God who is abundantly generous with us. Indeed, everything that we have, everything that we are, is a gift of God's love for us. And God created us in God's image to be generous too. And so one of the ways that we do that is by giving God's tithes and our offerings in worship. There are several ways to do that. If you're here in the room, we'll pass the plate this morning. Everybody also has online options, and you can scan the QR code on the screen for those options to give. You can give by text. You can give online on our church website. There's a QR code on the screen for those of you who are watching from home or online, wherever you are. Somebody was watching from the airport this morning. So anyway, we want to encourage you to give and grow in generosity using one of those options available to you. But let's go to God in prayer. God, we do thank you because we do know that everything that we have and everything that we are is a gift of your gracious, abundant, and merciful love for us. And now we pray that you will give us your Holy Spirit and create in us generous, giving hearts just like your heart, so that this church, through our gifts, may bless others in Jesus' name. Amen.
This gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise forever to the King of
Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't get in their way, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of God. And so now I invite our children to come and join Sherry Dawson for our children's message today.
Everybody, how are y'all today? Hey, look, Andrew's looking a little sleepy over there. But today we're going to talk about prayer. And I was really impressed with Brother Hammond up there. He said the perfect prayer that I'm actually going to teach you how to pray today if you don't know what to say. Because sometimes there are days where do you know how to pray or what to say when you're praying? I can tell you some in my Sunday school class, they get a little nervous when I ask them to pray in front of everybody. And so I actually taught them this prayer today. But sometimes when I'm trying to pray, I know that I remember sometimes I don't necessarily always pray for the right things. And one time, when my boys were younger, it could be the bottom of the ninth inning, full count, Christian might be up to bat. And it's 3 balls, 2 strikes. If you know baseball, that's in the games on the line, that's a big deal. And I will admit, I've been the mom that sat there and prayed and said, please, please, dear Lord, please let Christian get a hit. Please let him not strike out. Or better yet, let him get hit by the ball. Because at least he'll get on base. But don't hurt him. But he'll get on base. And it's true. I really have done this. And then I think to myself, what if that pitcher's mom, I bet she's over there praying for her son too, saying, please, don't let him strike this boy, or let him strike this boy out. Don't let him walk him. Don't let him hit him, because then he gets on base. Or the shortstop's mom, who she's over there praying too. Ooh, he let that ball go through his legs the last time. Don't let that happen. Every one of us have been out on a ball field doing that, or a dance routine for all of you girls, where we pray, don't miss that step. So those are things that perhaps, can you imagine God sitting there listening to all of our prayers thinking, what am I going to do? This is not what we're supposed to be praying for. But there's a way that if you forget the right way to pray and what to do, it's called the 5-finger prayer. You put your hands up like you're praying. Okay, put them together. It's hard for me to do with them. But you look at your thumbs. Your thumbs are closest to you. So the first thing that you think about when you're praying are the ones that are closest to you. So who do you think you'd pray for? What about your siblings? Maybe your mom, your dad, grandparents? That's who you'd want to pray for. So if you don't remember who to pray for, think about the ones closest to you. Your second finger, that's your pointer finger. You want to pray for those who point us in the right direction, like Pastor Hammett said, let's pray for our staff, for our other pastors. Let's pray for them this week, that they can guide us in the right direction. The next finger is your tallest finger. So you want to pray for our leaders. You kind of think about that. That's the leaders of the nation. And we prayed for our president. Yes, we. Yes, your teachers, most definitely. The ones who point you in the right direction. That's your pointer finger. Pray for your teachers, your Sunday school teachers. A lot of teachers this week are getting everybody ready for testing next week. So we want to pray for those teachers. Good answer, especially since I forgot that one. But our third, that big tall finger, praying for your president. Praying for those that are having to make intelligent, educated decisions for all of us. The fourth finger, that's our weakest finger. You know, that's the one that we call our ring finger. And that finger, you want to pray for the sick, the weak, the poor. We want to remember all of them, all of those people, you know, which is what Brother Hammett did a minute ago. Our last finger is our smallest one. And that's who we want to pray for. Remember to pray for ourselves. But we pray for ourselves last because we want to pray for everyone else before us because that's what God wants us to do. Okay, so do you think you can remember that? Those that are closest to you, those that point you in the right direction, our tallest, our leaders, our weak, and our poor, and then ourselves. Okay? So let's say a prayer together. Dear Lord, we thank you for prayer. Good to have a friend to talk to, but even friends sometimes have trouble thinking of something to say. Help us remember this five-finger prayer to remember those who need our prayers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sherry. Y'all, you just saved us a little time because I had five-finger prayer in my thing. That's a whole paragraph or two. So it was perfect. It was wonderful. It's great. You did a much better job than what I was going to do, too. Anyway. Well, good morning and welcome to Asbury. It's so nice to see you here, and welcome to those of you who are joining us online. Today we have a couple of scripture readings, and one's from the Gospel of Mark. The other, this is chapter 1 in verses 35 through 38. This says, early in the morning, well before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. Simon and those with him tracked him down. When they found him, they told him, everybody's looking for you. Now, just think about that. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, right? It's 4 or 5. Everybody's looking for you, 4 or 5 o'clock. Jesus could not get a break. Amen? So he says, when they found him, they said, everybody's looking for you. He replied, let's head in the other direction to the nearby villages so that I can preach there too. That's why I've come. This is from Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Jesus told them, when you pray, say, Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for being with us today. And we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen.
Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh, great.
What, dear?
Grace!
Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing!
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
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 Lord, teach us to pray. So the story goes that this guy was running late for a meeting. And as it goes, he couldn't find a parking space. The parking lot was full. And so he drove around and around and around. Finally, he resorted to praying and making a vow. And so he stopped his car and he prayed, Lord, have pity on me. If you find me a parking place, I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. And I'll even quit drinking. All of a sudden, the skies opened up and light shone down, and there, right in front of him, was a parking space. And he looked up at the Lord and said, I'm fine, I found one. You know, it's so easy to forget the vows the vows that we make. And during this series, we're going to remember the vows that all of us made if we've ever joined Asbury United Methodist Church or any United Methodist church. And at the same time, our confirmands are wrapping up their confirmation class. They are praying about making these vows their own. And then they're going to come on May 22nd to do that. Some of them weren't baptized when they were children, so they're going to make their baptismal vows on their own. Others will confirm the vows that were made on their behalf by their parents or guardians when they were younger. And then in that service on the 22nd, all of us will have an opportunity to renew those vows that we made when we became a part of the Asbury United Methodist Church family. And so what comes to mind when you think of the word vow? When you think of the word vow, are there any synonyms that you think of? You can actually answer that question if you want. Promise, somebody said promise. Contract. That's good. Yeah, those are good. So promise or a contract. Promise is the word that comes to my mind. And so I looked it up because a vow seems more serious to me than just a promise. And sure enough, that's right. In the Middle Ages, the word vow meant a solemn promise that was made to a deity, to a god. And so that's why most often when we make a vow, we make a vow in church, in worship. And so these vows that we make are very serious, and they bring order and meaning and purpose to our lives if we allow them to do that. I think about, I know we've got some children, and maybe our kids have never made a vow yet. So I'll tell you a little bit about what that's like. I think about my wedding vows, amen? Michelle and I, that was 20 years ago, this coming June 8th. We stood in the sanctuary at First United Methodist Church of Crossett and exchanged our vows with one another. We met in Crossett. I was the everything the senior pastor did not want to do in that church. And I was music director and did choir and handbells and praise band and all kind, and then youth and children and everything else. But anyway, we met in that church. She was actually in my handbell choir, and so that's how we met. And we were in graduate school when we got engaged, and we decided to go back. Were y'all at that wedding? Y'all didn't make it. I didn't make yours either. And I'll tell you why I didn't, because all I had was a shirt with Huggy Bear on it, and I just couldn't go to church in a Huggy Bear shirt. Anyway, that's another story. Those are my though Dennis are old friends. So anyway, 20 years ago, we exchanged vows, and I'll never forget. I remember when I got to that moment where I had to say, until we are parted by death, I got choked up and tears came to my eyes. And I could hardly say it. I could hardly say those words. I said made those vows 20 years ago this year, but they still give order and meaning and purpose to my life. There are some things that I do because I made those vows with Michelle, and there's some things that I don't do because I made those vows with her. Another set of vows, I took my ordination vows in 2005, and if you pay very close attention, you'll see the guy to the left of the screen in the photo, in the next photo too, but that's my dad and my mom. They were both ordained elders, and one of the wonderful moments in that service of ordination in Russellville in 2005 was when you're ordained, you receive your stole. You receive a stole. That's that red thing that I'm wearing, and you can ask another elder to place that stole on your shoulders. And Mom and Dad were divorced. They did not get along. They didn't do anything together, but they put my stole on my shoulders in my ordination. And in those vows, I made a solemn promise to God and to our annual conference, to the Arkansas United Conference of the United Methodist Church, that I would do some things. And those things give order and meaning and purpose to my life as an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. There are some things that I must do because I made those vows, and there are some things that I can't do because I made those vows back in 2005. But the first time I ever made a vow was when I was 11 years old. That is me on the front row. I'm the one in the tan jacket. And that's my buddy John Stone, just in the blue suit. And he's kin to the Freemans at Asbury. And actually, he's related to David Freeman, who's the pastor over at First United Methodist Church downtown. I think they're cousins. And there's my dad again back in the back. I have that robe downstairs if you want to see it. He was in a Bob Shuler phase at that moment. But anyway, this was Pentecost Sunday of 1982. I was 11 years old, and this was at Wesley United Methodist Church down in Pine Bluff. And that was the day when I confirmed the vows that Mom and Dad made for me when I was baptized on, I believe, October 26, 1970, when I was just barely a month old. Through confirmation, I vowed to support the ministries of my church family through my prayers, my presence, my gifts, and my service. Later on, we added my witness, and we'll be talking about that on the last Sunday of this series. So those are our vows of membership, to support our church family through our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And because of those vows, because we've made those vows, there are some things we're supposed to do, and there are some things that we're not supposed to do. And we'll be talking about that over the coming weeks. But today, the first vow that we make as United Methodist Christians is to support, as we say that, as a member of this congregation, I will faithfully participate in its ministries by my prayers. But how do we pray? How do we pray? Well, there are all kinds of different ways to pray. When I prayed the pastoral prayer earlier in the service, that's a form that I like to call Church World Sick Saints. Church World Sick Saints. And so we pray for the church, for the global church, for our local congregation. We pray for the world, for our leaders, for situations that are going on across the globe. We pray for the sick, and we name those at Asbury. We name those members of our church family and extended family who are ill or in special need. And then Church World Sick Saints, the last one is ourself, because hopefully God, through the Holy Spirit, is making us all saints, amen and hallelujah, right? Through the process of sanctification. And we pray for others in the Christian community. I love, my favorite form of prayer is silence, stillness, listening. And I think when I talk with other people, that's the thing that we all need to work on the most, I think. Just getting still, and instead of barraging God with all of our requests and desires, we just sit and listen. I love to do that on a walk, or sometimes I can do it on my bike. It's kind of harder. You have to pay more attention on your bike. But just get out in nature and be silent, or rest and be quiet at home. Another one is what's called the ACTS prayer model, and our confirmands learned about this just a few weeks ago. Clark Cogbill was their facilitator that day, and he was sharing this the other day pastor study that we were talking the other day. But A is for adoration, and so you begin your prayer by praising God for all that God is, for all that God is. C is for confession, and so then you say, you name before God the ways that the things that you have done or that you have left undone that are because of your sin. You confess those things. You intend to make those right. Also, then T is for thanksgiving. You say thank you for all of the blessings that God has given you in your life. And then finally, at the end, again, Sherry put this very well. It's supplication. You ask for what you need. You ask for your own needs. And like I say, it's not, prayer is not magic, and it's not like putting a quarter in the bubblegum machine and getting a gumball out. Prayer is really about asking for God to care for you in your basic needs, and then helping you see how, when you have more than just what you need to get through life, how you can use your additional blessings to bless others in generosity. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, that model is great. And here's where I would have told you about the five-finger prayer, but Sherry did an excellent job of that. There are so many different ways to pray, and these aren't all of them. One of my favorite, I'll throw this in since Sherry did this one. One of my favorite kinds of prayer also comes from, I heard it from the Buddhist tradition. And part of what you do is if you're having somebody's giving you a really hard time, you know, somebody's out to get you, or if you're just, you know, there's somebody that you just really don't like, part of what you can do is you can imagine that person, you can hold that person in your mind, in your heart. And if you had a good relationship with your mother, that's key, you can change them with your mother or with somebody you really love, somebody who loved you unconditionally, and kind of go between that, and that will help you to cultivate a better relationship with that person or a more loving disposition toward them. So anyway, there are a whole bunch of ways to pray, but how did Jesus pray? How did Jesus pray? When you read the Gospels, especially Mark, I mean, that's in the very first chapter that we read just a minute ago, where he goes off by himself to pray. I believe that's right after he's already come out of the wilderness, where he prayed for and fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. Then he comes out, goes into ministry, is engaged in some ministry, and then he goes away to pray again. And you see that pattern over and over and over and over again. Jesus does those things that we remember. You know, he preaches and he teaches and he heals and he feeds people and does all of that stuff. But then he always goes away by himself for a time of prayer. Well, the disciples noticed that pattern in Jesus' life, and so they asked him about it. And they said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray, just like John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray? And he was very happy to do that. And the prayer that he taught them was what we call the Lord's Prayer. We prayed a version of that just a few minutes ago. The prayer that we pray in church is actually a mishmash. You might have, when I read the scripture reading a minute ago, you might have thought, wait, where's this? Well, some of the other stuff came from Matthew's gospel. Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer is a little bit different. And then because we're Protestant-ish as United Methodists, we also, we're actually technically Anglican. We're off the Anglican branch of Christianity's family tree. But we have this Protestant ending to it, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's actually not in Matthew or Luke, but Christians have said that for so long that in some of the old manuscripts of the Bible, you'll find it in there, but not in the very oldest ones. So when we were learning about prayer in confirmation class, you know, my dad was my confirmation pastor, and he said that one way that we can pray is to simply pray the Lord's Prayer and to meditate or to think about each line and how it applies to your life. And so I'm going to walk us through that briefly this morning. The first line is, Our Father who art in heaven. God is our Father. And I want you to notice as we read Jesus' prayer, all of the pronouns in it are plural. Amen? This is a community prayer. This is not something that I'm praying on my own, although it does impact my life personally, but I'm praying this as a part of the community of faith, as a part of God's family, our Father. So first thing that reminds me is that I am God's child. I am God's child. Now, I don't always think that. You know, I don't always feel that way, and not everybody in the world treats me as if I was God's child all the time. But when I pray that, it reminds me that I'm God's child. It also reminds me that I'm a part of a family. I'm a part of a family, our Father. And as I've gotten older, when I was young, that family, that our part of the prayer, was really my friends and my family and the kids I went to Sunday school with and my church family and all of that. As I have gotten older, that our Father has grown and grown and grown. Our Father includes everybody, even my enemies, even the people who have done me harm. They are children of God too. And so even in that very first word in Jesus' prayer, we are brought into a family where the people who get on your nerves, the people that have been mean to you, you remember that they are God's child too. Who art in heaven? Heaven is the reality of God's presence on earth and throughout the cosmos and as far beyond as you can go. And so that reminds us that God sees above and beyond what we see, not only in terms of space, but also in terms of time. God has a long view of our life and of the life of the universe and beyond. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy, and holy means different. And so Jesus is saying that God's name, when we call upon God's name, it's different from the way that we use other names. You know, we tend to use names to control other people or to tell them what to do. Like, you know, when my mom would say, Hammett Nichols Evans, you go into your room right now and you clean that room up and you don't come out before you get it done, right? She was telling me what to do. She's controlling me. That was my mom in the picture, if I didn't say that earlier. I guess I did. But anyway, we use it to control people. And perhaps the most egregious example of that is what slave owners did under slavery in the United States, when they would change a slave's name to exert their power and control over that person's life. They would change their name. So what Jesus is saying is that when we pray for God's name to be hallowed, we're saying that God is beyond our control. Like I say, it's not about, you know, putting a quarter in the machine and getting out a gumball. We are letting God be God. That kingdom come. We're Christians and Jesus is our king. Amen. Jesus is the ruler that we follow. Not politicians. Amen. Not either political party in the United States. Not any government. Jesus is our ruler. We pledge our allegiance to him. And Jesus showed us that his kingdom, God's kingdom, has all kinds of different people in it. Rich, poor, black, white, male, female, everything in between, every kind of person. And Jesus shows us that there are no walls in God's kingdom. We see walls on earth, but not in God's kingdom. And so when we pray that God's kingdom will come, we're asking God to tear down the walls in our own society. Amen? We're inviting God to do that. And that brings us to the next part. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, we can be so loyal to earthly rulers and kingdoms that we forget that our ultimate loyalty is to God and God's kingdom. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is my favorite part. I mean, finally, we've gotten pretty deep into this prayer. We finally get to ask for something. Amen. But you notice, I mean, that's good news, but there's also kind of, I don't know if it's bad news, but it's not a new car or a bigger house or more money or more prestige or more fame or more power. It's the bread that we need to get us by today. It's what we need to sustain our life today. And so, and again, that pronoun is plural. Give us this day our daily bread. And so as somebody who has way more bread than he could ever eat on his own, it reminds me also that maybe I need to share some of my bread so that others may have their daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The next line is really important. I think it's probably the hardest line of all. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, when I was 11 and I started praying this prayer every night and thinking about these lines, when I would get to this one, I had to think about that boy that bullied me mercilessly, cruelly. But I also had to remember, I started noticing that I bullied my brother at home. And so praying that we would be forgiven as we forgive others helped me to be a better brother, amen? And it helped me to see that person that was hurting me again as a child of God. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I mean, what are the things that tempt you? What are the things that tempt you? Yours will be different from mine. The things that tempt us are the things that get in the way of our relationship with God and our loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so what are those things? And invite God to come into your heart and release those temptations and deliver you from the evil that would come if you acted upon them. Now, here's the thing. So Dad taught us that. I was 11 years old, confirmation class. I prayed Jesus' prayer every night before I went to sleep from the time I was 11 through college and into early adulthood. Night after night. Be honest, sometimes I fell asleep. Amen, we all do. But night after night, day after day, week in, week out. Sometimes I still do that. Sometimes I still pray Jesus' prayer that way. I have no idea what kind of a person I would be if I had not practiced that day in, day out, even when I fell asleep. I can tell you I would not be the person that I am today if I had not done that. Jesus' prayer is so simple. It is so simple. A child can pray it. But it makes such a difference in your life. So as we close today, I want to invite you to support your church family with your prayers. With your prayers. And there are all kinds of ways that you can do that. I want you to pray for Brother Nick. Amen. Brother Nick isn't here today. I heard that there was like a big concert last. Somebody named Garth, I don't know who that is, but anyway, he went to that, and he'll be back for Stone Soup, but he asked for the morning off, and I was glad to give it. He much deserves it, amen? So pray for Brother Nick. Pray for his ministry. Pray that he will lead our youth and serve as our associate pastor in a way that glorifies God and helps us to grow God's kingdom. I want you to pray for me, amen, twice on Sundays. Please pray for me. I hope you do. Pray for our church staff and our leaders that we will all be able to be faithful to God and to help Asbury pursue its calling of being a beacon of light in our community. I want to encourage you, I know you do, but pray for the people in your Sunday school class or your small group. But as you do, also pray for those people that go to Asbury, your church, and you haven't even met them yet, right? You see them in the hallway and you're not sure if they're a guest. Pray for them too. And pray for people who have yet to come to Asbury, who will become a part of our church family. I encourage you to pray for everybody. Pray for folks who are grieving or dealing with hardship. These days, I hope you're praying for the United Methodist Church here at Asbury, here in our state, here in the world. So those are all ways that we can faithfully participate in Asbury's ministries by our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Let's pray, and I invite the band to return. God, we do thank you for the gift of prayer. And sometimes we're guilty of thinking of making too much of it. And praying to you is really just having a conversation and taking time to listen as much as we speak. And so, God, we pray that you'll help us just to open our hearts to you, open our minds to you. You already know what we do and what we think, and you love us anyway. And so, God, we thank you for loving us, and we pray that you will draw us into a closer relationship with you through the gift of prayer so that we might grow closer to one another and especially to our neighbors in need. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen.
Stand to join us for our final song this morning. A song from long ago, but you may know it. Sing it if you do.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carry the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing.
Sing this out.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
I invite you to come back next week. We'll be talking about how we support the ministries of our church family through our presence. And that ought to be really interesting in light of the pandemic when so many of us are worshiping online. There are all kinds of ways to be present and to support our church family. And so I want to encourage you to come back for that next Sunday. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.